Well, last week we were in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. This week we are going to be in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. We are continuing our series called Who is Jesus? And we're looking at those I am statements from the Gospel of John. Last week in the text that we looked at, Jesus referred to himself as the gate. And so we talked about how Jesus is the entrance. His very life, who he is the entrance into the sheep pen, the place where we have safety, protection, nourishment, true life. And I made a very bold statement, but I believe it's a true statement from John 10, 1 through 10. I have to be careful with this because it will fall down just by blowing on it pretty much. So I made the statement, though, that here is life and out here is death. Jesus is the entrance to true life. After the service, someone mentioned to me, and I can't remember who it is, and I apologize for that, but they said for a lot of us, what we try to do so often is straddle the fence. And so we want to have one part of our life, a bit of who we are here. We want to experience all of the goodness that comes with life in Jesus, but we also want to have a foot out here. We want to have a component of our life enjoying all that is going out here, even though in our heart of hearts we might realize that what goes on out here leads to death. So many of us are straddling the fence, so to speak. Jesus keeps with the shepherding theme in this section we're going to look at today. But instead of talking about himself as the gate, he's going to talk about himself as the good shepherd. Let's go ahead and look at that text now. This is John 10, 11 through 18. I'll read that entire section. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. My aim today is pretty simple. It is to either remind you or convince you that you are a sheep in need of a shepherd. My aim is simple. It's either to remind you that you are a sheep in the need of a shepherd, or to convince you that you are a sheep in need of the good shepherd. The structure of this sermon is pretty simple. It's going to be built on four different questions. The first question is, who is the shepherd? The second question is, what does the shepherd do? The third question is, what does it mean that we are sheep under this shepherd? And then, based on this teaching from Jesus in John 10, where do we go from here? What do we do with this teaching? So very straightforward, four simple questions. So let's start with that first question. Who is the shepherd? Jesus says right there, verse 11, right at the start, that he is the good shepherd. Now, we know that God oftentimes was referred to a shepherd, or he even called himself a shepherd in the Old Testament. It happens over and over again. We're going to look at two of those instances this morning. The first one, a passage that we've already both read and sang, is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So God, as shepherd, provides care and direction for the sheep. One finds nourishment for life in one's relationship to God, the good shepherd. And we live and breathe this psalm, don't we? We know this psalm. For many of us, this may have been the first passage of scripture that we ever memorized, and it's a good one to memorize. Perhaps you've stood in a cemetery as a loved one was buried, and a preacher or someone would read these verses from Psalm 23. These words provide nourishment to us in themselves, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So we see protection, nourishment, and care from God, our shepherd, in Psalm 23. The other passage I want us to look at is from Ezekiel 34. This may not be a passage that you have memorized, or the first passage that you memorized at that. And so, Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 17. You may want to turn there now. So, it's going to be on the screen, this passage. It's a long passage. If you're looking for it in your own Bible, between Lamentations and Daniel is where you'll find the words of Ezekiel, the prophet. Just a little bit of context really quickly about this passage. So this Ezekiel prophesied from 593 to 571 BC. The Israelites at this time were in exile. Things were not good for God's people. They had been conquered by the Babylonians and been taken away from their land, and now they were living in Babylonia or the surrounding nations. They had lost their promised land that was so important to them. The Jewish leaders in the first part of Ezekiel 34 are going to be referred to as shepherds. That's important. But these shepherds were not good shepherds. They did not care for their sheep very well. They were arrogant. They were ruthless in their treatment of them. They were unjust in their care for them. And when there were lost sheep, as there often were for the people at this time, the shepherds refused to look for those that were lost. And so that's the context. Now verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in a good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. So as I mentioned, the shepherds, the Jewish leaders, were not doing a good job with what they were called to do. And so God, through the prophet Ezekiel, says, I am going to step in to be your shepherd. I will be your leader, and I will be a good shepherd for you. I will be the model shepherd for you. And this was a rough time for Israel. Whenever the Israelites needed care and protection so much, as they were exiled from the Babylonians, here you find that the leaders did not step up. Instead, they acted cowardly toward their responsibility, toward their people. So God says, I will be your shepherd. And now we think we can see the words here are pretty familiar to us from what Jesus says in John chapter 10. What we see is that Jesus is going to be the fulfillment of God's promise to shepherd the people, both in and through the Messiah, the good shepherd of John 10. God is shepherding his people. He's providing the care and protection and nourishment that they need so badly. So Jesus when he comes in, he says, I am the good shepherd. He's making a very profound statement about his identity. God, through him, is providing what he has always promised to the people, namely a shepherd. So who is the shepherd? It's Jesus Christ. What does the shepherd do? Verse 14 first, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So what does the shepherd do? First, he knows his sheep. Lynn Anderson wrote a book called They Smell Like Sheep. Ancient shepherds knew their sheep. They practically lived with their flock. There was a high level of trust between the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd would have been present when a lamb was born, and then that shepherd would have helped raise that little lamb. The lamb would come to know that shepherd's voice intimately. The shepherd, like we saw in Psalm 23, would lead the sheep to green pastures and to water. The shepherd or the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. It heard its voice from day one. The shepherd smelled like sheep. And so it is with Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus himself smelled like sheep. Think about the people that Jesus spent time with. First of all, even with the apostles, right? You have a tax collector. You have some uneducated fishermen. You have a woman caught in adultery. You have those sinners. Remember, the Pharisee says, this guy hangs out with sinners. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to come down to earth to spend time with sinful, dirty sheep. Jesus himself smelled like sheep. Think about it. He was born in a manger. His feet got dusty as he walked around the roads. He sweated. He became like one of us. Jesus himself smelled like sheep. He said, the shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus knows people. He became one of us. What does the shepherd do? He knows the sheep. He also lays down his life for his sheep. I think this is a tangible expression of this intimate knowledge that the shepherd has for the sheep. Five times in eight verses there in John 10, 11 through 18, five times Jesus says that the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. What is Jesus trying to get across to the people? To us, the shepherd lays down his sheep, or lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 11 first, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Ancient shepherds were willing to lay down their life for their sheep. Jesus mentions that the hired hand would not be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. You think about a hired hand, they wouldn't have had near the investment in the sheep that the actual shepherd would have, right? The shepherd was the one that was there from day one helping to raise these sheep. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice, not the hired hand's voice. The sheep was the owner, or the shepherd was the owner of the sheep. The hired hand was not. So the ancient shepherds would be willing to lay down their life when robbers would come. And this would happen during that time. They'd also be willing to fight for the sheep when these wild animals would come and try to devour the sheep. The sheep would literally be willing to sacrifice their life for the protection of the sheep. This would happen. Jesus is willing to lay down his life for us, the sheep. You think about our situation. All of us are being attacked, right? It was said about Satan that he goes around like a roaring lion. He's seeking those to whom he may devour. Sin is real, and sin has the ability to take its grip on our lives. Jesus laid down his life to rescue us from the power of Satan and sin. He literally laid down his life for us. And that is love. That is sacrifice, that Jesus leaves the splendor of heaven, comes down to sheep, many of which turned their back on him, and yet he laid down his life for me, for you, sheep, dirty, smelly sheep. Do you ever wonder if God loves you? Do you ever wonder if God cares for you? The shepherd laid down his life for you, for me. What does the shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep. And then three, the shepherd calls other sheep. I was joking, that's maybe why there's some sheep that are not part of the pen yet, right? There has to be some other sheep for the shepherd to call, and so maybe that's them. And there's even this little guy here. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I think the other sheep that Jesus is referring to there are the Gentiles, right? Those that are part of the original flock, if you will, were the Israelites, God's people. And now Jesus is making the gospel, the message, reconciliation available to all people, even Gentiles. The Gentiles, Jesus said, will listen to the voice, and there will be one shepherd and one flock. Think about books like Romans and Ephesians and Galatians. What is Paul talking about there? And one of the main emphases of those books, the unity of the church. There is one flock under one shepherd. I think it's important that I note this at this point. You know, we have elders here over this flock, right? They're referred to as shepherds in Scripture as well, leaders. And I want to remind our shepherds here that there is one shepherd, one true shepherd. Before you are a shepherd, you are a sheep under the care of the one true shepherd. Don't forget that. That will shape the way in which you shepherd the flock here, the Leander Church. So the shepherd calls other sheep. The gospel is for all. That third important question, it is, what does it mean that we're sheep? So we understand that Jesus is the shepherd and he's a good one, but what does it mean that we're sheep? The primary thing is that we need the shepherd. The shepherd provides the care, the security, the nourishment for the sheep. And as I understand it, sheep are not the brightest of animals. I don't know if we should take that as an insult, as that we're always referred to as sheep in Scripture, but it's true. Their IQ, I don't know how you test an animal's IQ, but it's not all of that high. And that's us, even the brightest of us. So use this to kind of humble you from time to time. Even when you think you're really bright, God says, you're a sheep, right? That's the reality of the matter. But we need God's nourishment and care and protection. That's what it means to be a sheep. And I think most importantly, we need the rescuing that the shepherd provides. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and verse 6? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all have gone astray, is what Isaiah says. Paul would say it differently. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. You see, you can't get here on your own. You need to enter through the gate, the direction of the shepherd. And many of us, if we were to use this sheep, and I don't want to move too far over, but what happens for many of us is we move really far away from the sheep pen. But here's the love. Here's the truth of the matter. No matter how far we stray, get this, no matter how far we stray, this guy's about to fall over, the shepherd is still pursuing us. I'm just going to bring it back over here. Just like last week, this is starting to get awkward. Okay, we'll just leave it there. No matter how far we stray, the shepherd, and I'm gonna add something, passionately pursues us. And so for some of us here in the room right now, some of us might be thinking, man, I have messed up so badly. I have lost that passion for living for Christ. I have made one bad decision after another. I am so incredibly apathetic. I don't care. Know this. No matter how far you've gone astray, the shepherd is passionately pursuing you. In fact, the shepherd has laid down his life for you. He loves you. Our final question is this: where do we go from here? What does this mean for us? What do we do? First of all, if you are a Christian, be grateful. If you're a Christian, be grateful. This is love, what we're talking about here, that the shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. And gratefulness, the recognition that your entrance into the community of God and to have this kind of life that Jesus offers you is based solely on Jesus' love, mercy, and grace for you. It should move us to gratefulness. If it doesn't, I'm not sure what to do with that. The gratefulness that we have then should influence our worship, our prayer life, our very lives. It should influence the way that we treat others, understanding that our life, our forgiveness, is not because of anything that we've done, but only because of the grace that the Good Shepherd has offered us in laying down his life. So we should be moved to gratefulness that shapes every aspect of our lives. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this: we ought to listen to his voice. Listen to the shepherd. I'm going to ask you this question to reflect on this for a little bit. Do you know the shepherd's voice? It's been said that sheep can distinguish their shepherd's voice from other shepherd's voice. And so they can actually hear their shepherd and know that's the shepherd. The truth is, we have all kinds of different voices out there right now, right? Voices of entertainment, voices of the internet, voices that go against the truth of the gospel. There's all these different voices. Can you hear the voice of Jesus? Can you distinguish the voice of Jesus from other voices? And perhaps for some of us, what we need to do is turn to the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and once again soak up the teaching of the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd's voice? As we listen to him, 100% of the time, always, every single time, he will lead us in the right direction. The shepherd does not lead his sheep on the wrong path. It's always the right path. So be grateful, listen to his voice, and the final thing is very simple. For some of us here today, we may need to repent. Luke 15, verses 4 through 7, we'll close with this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Some of us here today may be lost sheep. We maybe have not given our lives over to the shepherd, even though he's given his life over to you. Take comfort in this. The shepherd is seeking you. He always is. He's looking for that sinner who needs to repent. So it might be time for you today to submit to the shepherd and allow him to put you on his shoulders and carry you back home. there's anybody here today that needs to make that decision to give your life over to the shepherd in baptism, we'd be so glad to witness you make that decision. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, we desire to be a people who bear one another's burdens. So if you have any needs this morning, you can come forward now as we stand and continue our worship together.